Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in public health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu. From Northeast Public Radio, this is the Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
So this is the Media Project before a live audience this week. How about that? We're happy to be joined by the New Visions Law and Government students. That's a selective, rigorous college-level career exploration program for high school students. This particular program is based at the State Education Department in Albany. So we have a dozen high school students here with their teacher, Rich Bader. So we're happy to have them. Dr. Alan Shartok, the professor, Rosemeyer Mayo is here. Mr. Shartok, Dr. Shartok is the CEO of Northeast Public Radio. And Rosemeyer Mayo is the head of the journalism program at the University of Albany, investigative journalist. And I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union. There, we've gotten the introductions out of the way.
What a high-powered group.
Important stuff. The important stuff here, I say, which is, what are we going to do without Brangelina?
Well,
we are going to be with them. We have now new dating. What's going to happen to the kids?
Oh, yeah.
The Brad love interest, is it there or not? There are thousands of stories to be done on this. I think there are whole teams of investigative reporters assigned to it.
We just have to pay attention to the fact that both the tabloids in New York City, on the day after the pending divorce between Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt was announced, the both tabs filled their covers with this.
The New York Times had it. It was coverage on the networks, on the very, you know, less important but short broadcast. They all included it. It's major news.
And one of them had his former wife, Jennifer Aniston, on the front page laughing.
It's karmic.
Get even.
They hurt me, look at this.
Get even.
I love it. Story has everything.
And then the second thing that I love about this, and then we'll go on to more important things, I'm sure.
But really? What could possibly be more important?
But the second thing I love about this is how their PR people will be playing this. So this morning I read, because I keep close track of these things.
Because you get up twice in the middle of the night to read the New York Times on your handheld device.
Actually, I have stopped drinking coffee, and therefore I have not been getting up in the middle of the night.
Wow.
Yeah. Makes a big difference.
You're drinking tea now.
See, this is peach tea. No, but what I was going to tell you is that I think that the PR people are now saying things like, Brad is heartbroken and begged Angelina not to leave, so that he doesn't want to be the bad guy either, I think.
Okay, so what do we think about this as a news topic? And I intentionally sort of poked by picking this up as our lead item here.
Okay, here's what I think. This time of vast media, endless internet, 24/7 coverage, why do we have to pick? Why can't I read both what President Obama said in the UN and about the divorce of Brad and Angelina? I did read both. I'm interested in both.
Yeah, but
why do I have to pick?
Yeah, but the key here is whether you're being manipulated
by
the press.
In other words, the press, the big monolith.
The big conspiracy.
We all got together, all of us in the press, got together and said, we're going to manipulate
Rosemary. Yeah, the morning call is in 20 minutes.
Oh, I got to get on the call.
Well, Rex, maybe you weren't invited. And, but you know, the fact of the matter is, you put another picture of Hillary on the front page of the paper, or you put Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt in Better Times on the front page of the paper, you're giving them what they want, and you're going to probably sell a couple of extra papers that way.
I've always said that the front page of a newspaper has to have news that is important, that it's so important even if it's boring, or it is so interesting it has to be there even if it's not important.
And where did you put it, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie?
Page 2 in our People column, where all that kind of stuff goes.
That's because we don't have to read it in the Times Union. I'm
That's
a subscriber, but I read it. It was like pounded into my Facebook, Twitter, everything that I look at. I knew it well before I saw it on Page 2. It didn't have to be there.
That's the great advantage of today's media landscape. We have many reasons why we denounce what has happened to the traditional media in the internet age. But the fact of the matter is, there are so many different places where you can turn for information. It is constantly inundating you. It is coming to find you. So you don't have to, as Rosemary says, make a choice. It comes and gets you.
Now, Rex, you came, as you often do, a little late to the party today. You came running in as the last minute.
You made the deadline. Sorry.
Yeah. On deadline.
That counts.
Right. But we were talking to the wonderful kids from New Vision.
Mm-hmm.
And Rosemary asked a very good analytic question. Do you want to repeat it?
Okay, he's going to bash you with this. I asked him how many of them read papers in paper format.
Oh,
and of course,
papers.
The answer is zero.
Oh, sure. Nobody reads papers in
One
paper
took
format.
His hand and made sort of a...
Maybe, he was an online
Am I supposed to be distressed by this?
No.
You knew it already.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I think, you know, obviously, I mean, I just, last week I was at the National News Leadership Conference in Philadelphia, and one of the key elements that we are contending with is the fact that news has to be delivered on your mobile devices. Everything that we think about these days has to be about mobile devices because that is what's rising. And that dictates, in fact, that we're going to have to be delivering more news with video because video is terrific for your little handheld devices. So why not?
You have a letter in today's paper, as a matter of fact, a letter to the editor saying the media hasn't covered this and it was something in the campaign. Hard for me to believe that anything in the campaign has not been covered ad infinitum. And that's the number one complaint. You get it, too, at WAMC all the time,
Alan. We get it on the roundtable.
Yes, we do. Like, why don't you ever talk about, or why did you pick this topic?
And then I always ask the following question. And how did you
listen?
How did you find out about this? Well, I read it in the paper.
It was some other media. It was not...
It came through me through osmosis, through the air.
Mm-hmm. There actually are stories that are undercover. There's a famous publication that comes out every year saying the top 10 censored stories of the year. And they're usually environmental, actually. And so there is such a thing as not putting enough attention or missing things. The press totally missed the uprising of an electorate that has made Donald Trump the powerhouse he is. We totally missed that.
True.
So there are stories that don't get covered, but they're never the ones that people complain about not hearing
that
about.
That annoys me about this guy who has a program on that's syndicated on WAMC, Harry Shearer. He's always doing these stories that he makes it sound as though he's the only one who's telling you these stories. They're in the Times Union, for heaven's sake. I mean, how far can you have
By the way, Rex, I couldn't agree with you more. So if you think you're going to bash me, he and I have had our problems over the years.
It's easy to bash the press, and that's the number one target for anyone who is unhappy with how they are doing themselves.
And sometimes deservedly so. But I'm interested in something. This morning, Rex, the Wall Street Journal has a piece saying that one of Governor Cuomo's closest aides, a man he once described as being the third son in his family, is about to be indicted by the fighting U.S. attorney, Pete Bharara. Now, they've got it. Everybody else is reporting on what they said, what the Wall Street Journal said. Tell us a little bit about the process of leaking. Where do they get something like that? It's always amazing to me.
Well, my presumption is, I don't recall the byline on that story, but my presumption is that it's a Wall Street Journal reporter who covers the office of the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District, Preet Bharara. If you are the beat reporter covering that office, you'd better be on top of that story. And it would be a real blot on your record if the Times Union had it before you, because we don't have anybody down in Manhattan. You know, we're a newspaper up here. So if you're a good beat reporter, you're going to be on top of that. And you can bet that the editors of The New York Times were at 3 o'clock this morning when that story posted, were rushing to try to get their beat reporter to say, hey, can you match this? In other words, can you get your sources to confirm this so that we don't have to cite The Wall Street Journal after our initial digital post, which I'm sure did. But we had to play the same game. It happened that our state editor, Casey Seiler, woke up at 3:20 this morning with
a beep.
No, he just was having a little trouble sleeping. I started to say amnesia, but that's not what that's called, of course. Amnesia is what I get in my my brain when I'm thinking of words. Right, with insomnia. And he happened to see this bulletin and, of course, then quickly filed a story so that we would have it for drive time early commuters this morning.
And what is the latest, Rex, that somebody who wakes up in the middle of the night or at 3:30 is able to file to get it into the paper.
Oh, the print edition. Well, yeah. The print edition goes to press right after midnight. So, you know, we're not going to
change. So he was too late for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, and that, you know, we break news all day now. In fact, we try to focus the time that news breaks to when we think there's the biggest digital audience. And that would be 6 and 7 and 8 a.m., noon, and then again at 4, and then again at 6. Those are the times when you have little peaks of audience. And so you try to time story releases for that.
Well, but you certainly aren't telling us, I don't think, that if something really important happens, you wait for that.
Right.
For those peak
no,
times.
No. If there's breaking news, you don't sit on it. That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you may say that it was a leak. It could well be that somebody who has this information has a favored reporter and they say, you know what? Here, listen, let me tell you something. And they whisper it to a particular reporter. That is kind of how leaks happen. And sometimes you get really mad about that and sometimes you get really lucky with that.
But I'm going to ask you something on this. And Rosemary, I'm sure we'll get in on the game. Isn't there the potential for favoritism based on you've been a good boy or girl, and therefore, you know, we want to reward you with a little something, a little piece of meat here.
Or negative reinforcement. More likely, we don't like you, you've done something wrong. The major newspapers in Texas, now the Dallas Morning News this past week endorsed Hillary Clinton for president, and they not only lost subscribers who were mad about that, but they're not going to get any favors from the Republican leadership in the state of Texas. Of course, the Houston Chronicle did it already a month, 6 weeks ago. So people punish you by not giving you breaks that you might otherwise.
I think leaks have to do with power. That's why the New York Times is going to get a leak before even the best beat reporter for the Times Union, because the story in the New York Times just would carry so much international clout compared to
Rosemary, that with some regularity, the Times Union has broken stories that nobody else has based on leaks.
That happens, yes, but it's more likely local stories.
Correct.
It tends to be stuff here. We just got beat by one which we considered to have been our bailiwick, and that is when Attorney General Eric Schneiderman decided that he was going to call on the EPA to hold GE to account, when he was going to say, EPA, you need to make GE do more in dredging. And nobody has covered the dredging of PCBs in the Hudson River more than we have. And the fact that that story broke in the Wall Street Journal really kind of ticked us off.
And the Wall Street Journal is working very hard. Mm. And they're owned by a reactionary right-wing guy named Rupert Murdoch.
I don't think that has much impact. I think Rosemary's point is the more salient one there, that it's how much impact are you going to have?
Yeah. I mean, if you get a call from the New York Times or the Washington Post, you pay attention to it.
Yeah.
Even if it's to say, okay, here's how we're going to duck it, you still pay attention to it. Not so smaller papers. And I worked for smaller papers most of my life.
Yeah, well, you know, I do remember, and I'm afraid I've told you this story before, but it's worth repeating, that very early when I started...
Probably not, but...
we'll be the judge of that.
Early when I started the Legislative Gazette newspaper all of those years ago, one of their kids, you know, because it was a young student reporters doing it, actually broke a story, which was that they were going to change the price of hamburgers on the thruway.
Excellent. Now, that's news you can use. Well, you know, you want your news to be useful, right?
Well, the guy who was sponsoring the bill in the legislature got all ticked off because he said, I'm not giving it to those kids, and leaked it to somebody before we could print it.
Oh.
At the end of the week. I'll never forget that. It was one of the great wrongs that has been perpetrated in my life.
I'll tell you how leaks can sometimes come double back on you. When Mario Cuomo was about to become governor, he apparently called the town supervisor of the town of Huntington on Long Island, and Ken Butterfield, and said, Ken, I want you to be the Secretary of State, which is not as big a job in the state of New York as it sounds like. The Secretary of State is an administrative job.
But it is a job he once had, Mario.
It is. He was Secretary of State before he became Lieutenant Governor. So he's going to become governor. He called Butterfield and said, I want you to be my Secretary of State. Ken Butterfield got all excited and called the Newsday reporter, whom he knew, Newsday being the Long Island powerful suburban paper there. So the Newsday had the story the next day, Butterfield to become Secretary of State, and Cuomo said, oh, yeah?
Forget it.
And gave it to somebody else instead.
Wow.
So Gail Schaefer became Secretary of State.
These are the great wars, the great stories to tell on newspapering and battling leaks. I can remember in Virginia, it was actually a competitive situation. There were three newspapers, and the city manager didn't like us. We had done something to annoy him. And so he said, we're having a major new employer come into the area. Thousands of jobs are involved, and I'll announce it tomorrow. And it was at a time past our deadline. perfectly designed to skip us. So we went into, there were two of us, and we just went into hyperdrive because there was no way we were going to miss that story. And of course, he had enemies. He was a jerk, as you can tell from the way he treated the newspaper.
And the way you're telling the story.
Yes, one of his aides just said, "No, I don't know anything about it," and moved a piece of paper towards us and left the room. And there was the whole
announcement. Oh, excellent.
And years later, you know, I still have this thrill of victory over that.
As I do with the hamburgers.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, listen, we've got good news today. We have good news. The American people actually have a higher opinion of the news media than they do of Vladimir Putin. However,
but not of the legislature.
Yes, however, they have a lower opinion of the news media. This thanks to Joe Pompeo of Politico for pointing this out. A lower opinion of the news media than they do of legislatures and the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, and so on. A new Gallup poll shows that faith in the media actually is declining. Only 32% say they have either a great deal or a fair amount of trust in the media, down 8 points from last year. Mm-hmm. Discuss, class.
Well, okay. Go ahead, Rosemary.
I was just telling our New Vision audience about this. I actually thought it was Pew, so it's Gallup, which is pretty reliable. You can't fault the poll. It's probably accurate. And the scary part is there's no replacement. Okay, you don't trust the media. Who do you trust? Church? Government? Police? What institution right now is not under assault? So where's our bearings anymore?
Well, it's interesting you say that because, as I just said, the numbers for the New York State Legislature, one of the most venal, at least morally corrupt institutions, you know, in the country, have gone up, and we don't know why. Maybe it's sort of like a fulcrum. If your media goes down, your legislature. Your ledger goes up on the scale. I don't. By the way, you said you can't trust. You can trust the polls. I don't trust the polls on something like that. I just
Gallup. I do. I think they do a really excellent job. So if it were some, you know, if it was Rasmussen, I would just say, they just don't like the Trump coverage.
You know.
I don't think the elections helped.
Right. Oh, I think the campaign in which Donald Trump is consistently denouncing everybody, he's already denouncing Lester Holt, who's the moderator of the first debate, and saying, claiming falsely, by the way, that Lester Holt is a Democrat. Lester Holt actually is an enrolled Republican in the state of New York.
Wow.
But he's already basically saying the fight is fixed. The ref is bad. You know, this is, of course, Trump's way to blame everybody but himself for everything. But the fact of the matter is the constant denunciation of the media for truth telling. For pointing out when his proposals are not, let's say, factually based, is part of the reason why I think the numbers have fallen for the media.
Now look, Rex, I'm no Trumpista, that's for sure. But I'm going to tell you something. I do believe that the mass media, much of the mass media in this country, including the New York Times and so many others, have decided it would be a total disaster for Trump to be the president of the United States.
That is true. I've never seen such partisan trumpeting by
Is it partisan when I think it's actually backbone finally on the part of reporters when they put the word falsely, into a lead when they say Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump claimed falsely today.
Lie in the headline. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing.
It is amazing.
There are those who think that, I'm sorry, Brett.
No, it's okay. Go right ahead.
There are those in this country who really believe that, and they say so, that Trump is, you know, a foot in the door for fascism. And I'm saying it. I'm saying that there are a lot of people who believe it. If you believe that, then do you say, okay, we'll sell some of our, what we previously considered to be journalistic impartiality and integrity in order to stop what is a terrible thing? And people often point to Hitler, you know, for example, people taking it easy on him when they could have, and look what it led to.
Absolutely. The press has indeed decided we're not going to be like we were during the Red Scare and the McCarthy era. We're going to stand up, as Edward R. Murrow finally did, and say this is wrong. But if you're one of the 50% of the people in this country, according to polls, who favors Trump, how does that look to you? You are openly saying, we hate Donald Trump. We will never support him.
No, well, they may interpret it that way. That may be how they hear it. But what I think most of the media are doing is instead being a bit more aggressive about the truth-telling, about the fact-checking.
Rex, the headline on the Washington Post editorial was, he is a unique threat to democracy.
The editorial.
It's hard to see that.
That's different. The editorial page. I'm talking about the news
coverage. But people don't see the difference
between
that.
Well, that's my point.
Come on.
That's my point. You're correctly quoting public perception, but I don't think that's accurate as to report. reporting. I think reporting has been going on is finally people actually saying factually what he said is not true. And that's what we ought to be doing.
As a journalist, I have applauded the Washington Post. What they did, faced with a ban by Trump, was to put David Fahrenthold to work as a reporter. He's, as I keep saying, if he doesn't get the Pulitzer, he'll be a finalist.
Yeah.
And he has simply done investigative reporting. He's gone through the business records and the charity records of Donald Trump. And he has week after week after week produced one negative story after another. I think it's great reporting, and I praise it to the hilt. But again, if I were in that 50% who likes Trump, I would be thinking, well, the liberal press is definitely out to get
him. You would, and that's also partly because Americans are clueless about the role of free press in a democracy. Most Americans have no idea that our task, really, is to be fundamentally a watchdog, to call fouls when we see them.
Whoa. Well, you and I have disagreed on this particular point many times, Rex. I've always thought that what goes on an editorial page finds its way bleeding into the way that news is covered.
Rosemary's shaking her head.
I don't think it does.
But let those people who are listening at home and not seeing it, because you can't see it, know that Rosemary is shaking her head vigorously, and so is Rex. However, I read an editorial in, I believe, today's New York Times as we speak. That was terrific. It was just terrific about why Donald Trump wouldn't release his tax returns. It was sensational. But I am going to expect that we'll see more and more, quote, reporting on that issue, which is laid out in the editorial page, and that we will not see the reverse. We won't see more negative stuff on Hillary Clinton.
You won't see more negative stuff in Hillary Clinton.
That would be a relief. We're seeing all kinds of negative stuff that's way overblown, in my view, as a Hillary partisan.
I think even if you're not a Hillary partisan, I think it's reasonable to question whether there has been, on the part of television, I'm not saying this is true, I don't think of print,
a false
equivalence, holding her to a standard for the questions about the release of her emails being equivalent to the many offenses of Donald Trump.
Or the foundation, the Clinton Foundation, has not been found to do wrongdoing the way Trump says.
Whereas Trump clearly is using his foundation in violation of IRS law.
I wanted you to know that at many times I've supervised master's theses and been in on PhD defenses and things. Somebody is going to write, and we'll get to the straight of this.
This election coverage is study for years.
Yes, and somebody is going to sit down with all the back issues of the New York Times and prove me right and you guys wrong.
I don't think so, Alan.
Of course not.
By the way, speaking of Cuomo's, Chris Cuomo, who is the host of the CNN morning program.
And brother of the governor of New York.
That would be right. Actually used the phrase BS, referring to...
He used the word BS, BS.
He said the problem is it's also BS. This is referring to Donald Trump Jr. saying, having to do with Syrian refugees.
That's absolutely true, and he did the right thing, I think. However, I'm thinking about another story that I meant to bring up before.
What was that?
And that has to do with Don King.
Don King, the boxing promoter?
That's correct. Gets up with Trump.
Said the bad
and says
N-word.
The bad word. He says the N-word. And the Times, the original stuff, did not quote the full term because they figure it's an expletive.
The digital version of it initially?
Yeah. And then in this morning's paper, I saw the word.
Well, it's an extraordinary story. There is Don King standing with Donald Trump, who's making a market outreach to African Americans. And the N-word is being slung around to nervous, twittering laughter in the audience. It was a story in which...
With Trump looking on as Don King did it.
Smiling.
Well, yeah.
And by the way, Trump is calling for a return of stop and frisk.
Which, by the way, again, speaking of truth-telling, the NPR story referred to it, said Donald Trump called for an unconstitutional approach today in law enforcement.
That's it.
And that is, it has been declared unconstitutional 3 years ago by a federal judge. And so that, again, is accurate reporting that I'm sure you're right, Alan. His supporters are not going to like, but, that's journalism.
And in fact, it may be having the opposite effect.
You have a way of looking down your nose that is infuriating, Greg.
Well, I think that the approach actually will not even help the press. It can be telling the truth. And to people who hate the press, it's just Donald Trump is standing up to the media the same way it's standing up to the political establishment. And it actually helps him.
It could be. I don't mean to look down my nose, Alan. It's just that it must be that my chair is taller than yours.
No, you are taller. I'm shorter. And once again, for all you short people out there, Rex has insulted not only me, but all of us.
No. It's all about...
including you, Rosemary.
It's all about seating. All right. We're done with this program. Amazing. That's what live on tape radio is all about, folks. You never know what you're going to hear. Thanks very much to the New Visions program and their teacher, Rich Bader, and for being our audience today. And thanks to you for joining us this week on The Media Project.
Are such interesting people. Let's give preachers the freedom of the press.